This is Magneto Mel, and I am sitting here with Mickey Russell and Jay Jones, is that right?
That's correct.
With World Flyers, and why don't you tell me a little bit about what you do?
Well, we're going to be doing a circumpolar flight in November of 2011, going for the world speed record of flying over the poles.
And now this is, you're doing this in the winter, correct?
Well, we're doing it in the winter here because the North Pole is a little bit not as bad as the South Pole during the wintertime, so we're going to be departing in November, catching a full moon over the North Pole, and then continue down to the South Pole, where it'll be springtime in the South Pole.
And this is also commemorative, is it not, in some way?
This is the 40th anniversary of the first record of a piston aircraft flying over the North and South Pole, set in 1971 by Elgin Long. And also it's the 100th anniversary of Edmund Scott going to the South Pole.
Now, I have here on your little thing that there's a note that more humans have stood on the moon than have flown over both of the world's poles in propeller-driven aircraft. So.
Yes. And the research I found so far that six people have attempted it, three's been successful, the first being Elgin Long, and then in 71, I believe it was early 80s, 81, 82, two other gentlemen and a Piper Malibu did it. And the rest that have tried have not made it, come up short or the wind, or made the decision that the weather is bad and landed somewhere else, which if that happens, we'll do the same thing.
And why is it so precarious?
Because you're flying over the harshest weather in the world. It's like a foreign planet when you get down to Antarctica. Some of the most extreme temperatures and winds are down there.
Such as? What kind of temperatures are we looking at?
Minus.
Up to 100 below. Could be in the, the South Pole, but in the North Pole, typically is only about 50 below at that time.
Okay. Oh, 50 below.
Yeah.
That's Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
Or Celsius. I guess at that point, you're pretty close.
Yeah.
Celsius.
It's pretty close to both. And you also have quite an altitude of mountain range to get over. Is that true?
At the South Pole, most people don't realize that the South Pole is sitting at 9,600 feet. Then we also have a mountain range to get over. But we do a lot of practicing. We're based in Buena Vista, Colorado, which is just 30 miles south of Leadville. So we operate at 8,000 feet and right at the Continental Divide. So we do a lot of mountain training.
And what about your personal background? I know, you've had a little bit, Mickey, you've had a little bit to do with Pete Conrad and the world speed record. What was?
Back in February of 1996, I was working at an aviation college in Denver, and Pete Conrad went for the world speed record in a Learjet, and I helped with all the on-air reporting, and also I did help with all the logistics, finding the fuel, getting the traffic controllers in place. And after sitting talking with Pete, I asked him, I said, I'm a big hero of yours, and I'd like to know what it's like to stand on the moon, because I know that that's a lot more bigger than this. He said, no, it's not, Mickey. Flying around the world is just as exciting, it's just as fulfilling as standing on the moon. And so he lit a fire in me about 15, 16 years ago that finally I'm getting the chance to accomplish.
And Jay, what's your...
My background is, well, I came on boarding with him trying to get the plane more efficient. I am currently a regional air racer, racing in the Formula One class, and so flying extremely fast, very low to the ground, and constantly turning left is kind of my forte. We've learned how to make planes, very little power, get more efficient, and so that's what I bring to the table.
And what route do you guys take to do this?
We'll be going, we'll be leaving out of Colorado and heading to Alaska, then from Alaska over the North Pole, then down through Greenland, and you can...
From Greenland, we'll get down to St. John's, Newfoundland, and at that point we'll change all the safety gear and get ready to go for the North Atlantic crossing, skipping Europe and going all the way down to Cape Verde off the coast of North Africa. And then shoot straight across, due east across the continent of Africa, and go down to Nairobi, Kenya. Then turn south to South Africa, to Johannesburg and Cape Town. Then we'd shoot across the South Atlantic to Rio, and where Mickey's wife is going to join us.
Yeah, she doesn't trust me in Rio by myself. So she's heading down to meet us there, and she'll take a little short ride with us down to southern part of Argentina, where we'll continue the flight to the South Pole, and then to the Antarctic Peninsula, King George, then from there back to Chile, Chile to Ecuador, to the Galapagos Islands, to Central America, and back to Texas.
And
I'll let
and
Jay
when we enter
Texas,
we're on our 24th day, which happens to be the 28th or 29th of November, and we'll land in Amarillo, which so happens to be my mom's 91st birthday. So what
okay.
a great present. Yeah, it's coming home.
And then got a lot of family going on with all this.
And then two more hours will be in Denver, and calling the trip done.
Did we cover exactly what are you flying?
It is a 1962 Queen Air. It has the Excalibur conversion, so it has the big 8-cylinder, 400 horsepower. They sound like little Harleys out there. It sounds really cool. And it gets great gas mileage. That's when I was looking at aircraft, I had to find something that could get good miles per gallon. And through my research updating with the new injectors and instrumentation, I'm getting it from a regular 32 gallons per hour down to 26 gallons per hour, and that's giving us our range, which we need a 5,000 mile range in the plane.
And then you mentioned a lot of different countries, and you've probably got a lot of different terrain, a lot of different coordination efforts, and a lot of different rules and regulations. How do you plan for a trip like this?
When we first started, I looked at the map and saw what you said had, and I quickly saw that our flight is only 200 hours, 8 days of straight flying.
Of actual flying time.
Which we can't do. And then we decided to take 24 days. I said, well, it's only 200 hours of flying time, but it's going to take you 2,000 hours or more of planning time to go, to talk to all the government agencies and all the handlers and all the people to take care of us on the ground and weather. And to plan it all out. And Mickey's found out it's probably taken us more than that time.
When did you start planning?
Oh, I started planning this probably 15 years ago.
Okay.
But in actuality, we started right around Christmas time, bantering back and forth. Do you want to do it? Can we do it? What do you think? Back and forth, and we're looking at airplanes. And so we started the clock, at Christmas.
Then, on New Year's Eve, my wife basically said, you've been talking about this for 15 years, you're not getting any younger, and gas prices aren't getting any cheaper, so you need to got out of the box and go out there and do this. So I got the full support of my wife, and
except
for Rio. We're still negotiating.
Well, now I see on here that you're offering spots on some of the legs for people to fly with you. Mm-hmm. How does that work?
If you make a donation or contribution to the flight, and you're in the area and we got the space, we're going to be kind of bored with each other after a while. It'd be nice to have a different conversation.
Right. Yeah. So you're just looking for people, and you're looking for certified. Certificated pilots or people just to ride along?
Just to ride along.
Yeah. Up until where we do the extreme danger spots, and then that's just back the two of us.
Okay, and there's that's not open for any kind of discussion on that one. And you're going to be filming a lot of this, and are you making a documentary out of it? Are you trying to contribute to research? What's the?
Oh, there's a lot there. I noticed a lot of the folks when I was researching flying around the world, they do these historic epic flights but they don't do too much filming of it. And to go out there and fly around the world in a GA aircraft and not film this, I mean, it's such a great documentary. It's great for promoting aviation and inspiring people to go out there and live their dreams with an aircraft. We are going to be doing a lot of filming. We got some really great cameras, and we're going to be doing a documentary.
And your background is Alaska, so you're no stranger just growing up to in the flying environment, to the cold and these extreme conditions to an extent.
Now, I've lived in Alaska and Norway, and it can be extreme. But if you just plan and have common sense, and there's an Ocean I heard one time, is Shackleton said it. He said after his failed expedition was going, walked up to his wife, first thing he said was, "I thought you'd prefer a live donkey than a brave lion."
Okay.
So I'm a live donkey.
You're a live donkey. Well, but now you're doing this polar flight, so.
Right, but the same situation presents itself.
I understand. And then your background, you said you're engineering and design.
Right.
You also have a business, do you not, that you feed into this, or a flight school?
No, oh, he has the flight school.
You have the flight school. Yes. Okay, so
I'm just doing it for pure fun.
He was the only one that would have set my challenge.
And you're the racer. So there's,
I'm the racer.
So you're the one that brings the whole speed record aspect into this.
I have the adrenaline junkie, you know, part of the thing. I keep wanting to go faster. He says, well, we'll set this hotel. We'll set this hotel. I'm going like, no, but we could go on. let's cut that one out and go a little farther. You know, let's endure this thing 30 hours. You know, land, refuel, go. So you can sleep on the plane. that attitude. We bring along together, like I say, looking for better ways to do this more efficiently, and that's what's going to work out for us.
The thing with me is, I was wanting to stop at hotels. Also, during my planning, you got to take a lot of research and serious things in consideration. Like we're making a stop in Nigeria. The reason why we're stopping in Nigeria is I did very extensive research and found out that Nigeria is the only other country outside of Ireland that brews Guinness beer.
And since our route's not going to take us to Ireland, he brings this up to me. Like, we are going to stop here.
You got to have your priorities straight.
Well, Lee and I got all the great crowd of the South Africans that come up here. You know, they rent the 747. Well, we've befriended them, and now we got three
stops. They're an easy group of guys to befriend.
We have
aren't
three
they?
Stops to join them to entertain the evening with them.
Okay. Entertain the evening. So you've got the exhibitor on, so you've got a presence here on the field. So where can people find you?
We're over in B Hangar at booth 2153. We also have the Queen Air here, and it's down on the Vintage line, and the Vintage aircraft people have been really good to us here.
Okay, and then on the web for people that aren't here, you've got information.
Oh, yes, we do. That would be World Flyers, and it's spelled WORLDFLYERS.org. And on Facebook, just go to facebook.com/worldflyers.
All right, then. Thank you very much for being with us today.